for. Let's pray once again. Father, God Almighty, when we read your word, we are confronted, convicted, challenged. And this text is a challenging text for us. And we pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would see the glory of Jesus Christ even more clearly, and that we would put you to practice the things that we learn here so that we would look more like him every day and we would live for the praise of your holy name every day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whether you are a sports fan or not, I'm guessing you probably know the name Michael Phelps. He's an American swimmer, and he has won pretty much everything there is to win. I was doing some research, and he has 28 Olympic medals. That would take Brazil 5 or 6 Olympic Games to attain that number of gold medals, 23 gold medals that he has, and 28 in total. But what's interesting about him is the length of his career. You see, in 2004, his first Olympic game, he won 6 gold medals. 2008, he won 8 gold medals. In 2012, a little older now, he won, just 4. Then he retired. But he thought, well, I'm too early to retire, so I'm going to get back in the game. And then 2016, he won 5 gold medals. And so you see, from 2004 to 2016, a long period of time, he was at the top of his game. He competed and he won everything. That's why he's the most victorious Olympian. That's what they called him, the person who has most Olympic medals in all history. But you see, as I said, to do that for such a long time, he had to go through a very difficult and hard routine of training and devoting himself to his goal to win the competition for a very long time. And so, as incredible and amazing it is that he had a very difficult routine of eating 12,000 calories a day, swimming at least 8 miles every day, going to the gym twice every day, and doing such a hard and difficult training every day. He did it for such a long time. That's what calls our attention even more than just winning 8 gold medals in 1 Olympic Games. He persevered. He endured in his difficult lifestyle of a high-level athlete. So now you might be thinking, okay, that's cool and all, but what does that have to do with me? I didn't come here to hear a coaching session or how to have a victorious life. That's not our goal here. But the text that we read tells us that we are in a race, not swimming, but in a race. And we have a clear mandate in front of us that we are to run with endurance. So you see, not only start running is difficult, but enduring a long time in the race, running without slowing down, is even more challenging. And so the text gives us not only the mandate, run with endurance, but it also gives us a motivation and also tells us what is to be our mentality as we run this race. And so you see, as a Christian, our mandate is to run with endurance, without slowing down, considering Christ, who is our motivation. We are in a race. We are in a marathon. And we must run with endurance, considering Christ. So the first thing that we'll see is that our mandate is run with endurance. So read verse 1 with me again. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The letter to the Hebrews is a great letter, but a very deep, theologically speaking, letter. We don't know who the author is. Some people say it's Paul or other. We don't have that information. But whether it's Paul or not, the author of Hebrews is a great theologian. And he is teaching us throughout this epistle the supremacy of Christ, the importance of Christ, and how much Christ is better than everything that had happened in the Old Testament. And Christ is the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And he is the high priest through whom we have a great and bold access to God the Father. He is the supreme revelation of God. And in chapter 11, the author of Hebrews tells us that, you know, all those great heroes in the Old Testament, they lived by faith, and they are commended by what they did by their faith. And so we have the heroes of faith listed in chapter 11. And then, chapter 12, he begins with therefore. And since you are all PhDs in hearing sermons, you know that when we see therefore in the Bible, we need to stop and consider, why is it there? It's important. This word connects chapter 12 with chapter 11. And it is a strong and emphatic conjunction. Therefore, so having all that we saw in the epistle in mind, the supremacy of Christ, the importance of Christ, the great high priest that we have, and this great number of heroes of the faith in mind, let us do this. And you see, in verse 1, we have two different letters. Let us lay aside and let us run with endurance. The last let us is the important one in the sense that it is the imperative one. And so the author of Hebrews is doing something different here. He's not beginning with the great imperative, the great mandate. He's giving us some information. And then in the final part of the verse, he tells us, let us run with endurance. And so this is your mandate. Run with endurance. Run with endurance. But what is the race that he set before us? What does he mean by this race? Well, the race analogy in Scripture is not uncommon. Paul uses it, and we see in different places in Scriptures, as Paul said, he has finished the race, and he's ready to go. And in the letter to Timothy, he says that. So the analogy of race is not uncommon. It's a popular one in Scripture. But it is a good one because it gives us a great picture of what our Christian life is. It's not a sprinting. It's not just a casual walk. It's a long race that we must run with endurance. So the minute that you have come to Christ, that the Holy Spirit changed your heart and changed your nature, and you were a new creature, your race started. And you are in this race, in this big marathon, your entire life until you go to the Lord, or the Lord comes to take you to be with him. And so this is your race, your Christian life. The way you live every day when you wake up until you go to bed, and the other day and the next day, you are in a race and you must run with endurance. So this is your mandate, run with endurance. But the author of Hebrews does not give us only this mandate, he elucidates it. And so he begins by saying, since we have a great cloud of witness. And so again, therefore, connecting us to chapter 11, he tells us about this great cloud of witness. And so we must assume that this cloud of witnesses are the heroes of faith that he mentioned in chapter 11. And so you see, as you are in this race and you strive to run with endurance, you can be certain and you must be aware that there are a number of saints, of people who have run this race and are watching you. They are this great cloud of witnesses that are rooting for you and watching you as you run your race with endurance. And so this is why you are to run, because you have a great cloud of witnesses. But then he goes on and he says, laying aside every encumbrance and sin. Now, some commentators say that this is the same thing. Two words that mean the same thing. And so the author is giving emphasis to how much you need to lay aside the sin that is entangling you. But he does use two different words, and other commentators, and I agree, think that these are different things: encumbrances and sin. So what's the difference? Encumbrances, or dead weight, unnecessary weight, are things that slow you down. And so let's go back to the race analogy. Imagine a person leaving his house to go run a 10K, a 15K, or a 40K, like a marathon. And this person has a big backpack full of stuff. He even has, you know, some dumbbells in his hand, and he's carrying a luggage in his other hand. And you look at him and you say, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" "I'm going to run a marathon." Do you think that he's prepared to run a marathon carrying all this weight? Have you ever seen a marathon racer with a heavy clothes and a lot of weight besides him or carrying with him? No, they run lightly because it's a long race, so they need to endure. So this is the picture that the author is giving us here. See, you are in a race and you must run with endurance. And so to do that, lay aside everything that can slow you down, every encumbrance, every dead weight. So what are those things that can slow us down in this race? Again, as I said, I don't think that the encumbrance and sin are the same thing. And so we must look at our lives and look for things that are not sinful in itself, good things, but are slowing us down. Now, a lot of people read this and they immediately think Netflix or other form of entertainment. And for a lot of us, and I really mean a lot of us, we should immediately think about entertainment, because in the day that we live, it is something that really slows us down, gets us out of focus in our race, makes us to slumber and slow down. But it's not the only thing that does that. What is it that is slowing you down in your race? Perhaps it's your job. Perhaps it's your family. Perhaps it's your priorities, your goal. What is it that is slowing you down, that the author of Hebrews and the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to lay aside? Lay it aside. You see, it would be so much easier if we had a list. You know, this, lay it aside. That, lay it aside. Now you're good to go. You can run your race. But that's not how our heart work. We might be legalistic and think that this is just a list of things that we need to stop doing, and then we're good. But it goes deeper than that. Your intentions, your desires, the way you think, what you want, your emotions, all these things can slow you down. And what do we need to do? We need to lay them aside. We need to lay them aside so that we can run with endurance. Perhaps you're trying to run and you're carrying a big bag of encumbrances with you. And that's why you're not running efficiently. You're not running appropriately. That's why perhaps you are very slow, and you see other people and you look at them and you think, wow, how can they run so steadily in a good rhythm for so long a time? Perhaps they have laid aside the encumbrances that were slowing them down. So look at your life. Consider what you do, and even good things. Ask yourself, are these good things edifying for me, helping me run this race, or are they slowing me down? And as you do that, we come to the sin. You see, encumbrances, that weight, they slow you down, but sin, the author tells us, easily entangles us. And so the consequences of carrying encumbrances, it's to get slowed down, but to carry sin is that it will stop you. It will entangle you. And it will make you stop your race. In other words, sin will kill you. Now, when we consider big, public, shameful sin, we immediately say, yeah, that's right. It's terrible. But the word here It's just describing those small, harmless, quick sins. I've heard a preacher once described them as pet sins, sins that you carry with you and you think that they are not harmful at all. You can keep running with them. They're not that heavy. I can run my race carrying them. But the truth is, slippery slope is the devil's favorite strategy to get us to stop, to get us to be entangled. What does that mean? Usually, temptations, they don't come outward and in a big, open way. Consider David, for example. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, then he killed Bathsheba's husband and took her as his wife, and he didn't even realize what he was doing, the awfulness of his deed. But you see, all that started with idleness. The Bible tells us at the time that the kings go to war, David stayed. And then he's walking on the roof, thinking about how great life is. And then he sees that woman. And then he looks at her again. And so you see, idleness led to lust. And then he wanted her. As a king, he could have her. So he took her. I think if she would have come to him and said, "Hey, commit adultery with me right now," he would probably say no. But that's not how sin presents itself to us. And it easily entangles us. Easily. And so what do we see here? We see that there is no such thing as a harmless sin. There is no such thing as a light sin. Sin is heavy. Sin entangles. Sin kills. So what is the sin that is easily entangling you in your race? Perhaps it's pornography. Perhaps it's lying. Perhaps it's sloth. Perhaps it's self-indulgence. We have many, many options of sins that we think are harmless, that are not weighty and heavy. But that's not true. Sin kills. So lay it aside. Lay it aside. Forsake it. Forsake it because you are in a race and you need to run with endurance. And if you don't run with endurance, you will not get to the finish line. You will not get to the finish place. So run with endurance. Why? Because you have a great cloud of witness, laying aside every encumbrance and sin. But you see, the Bible tells us, run with endurance the race set before us. Now, there's a saying that the neighbor's grass is always greener. If we would adapt that saying to this text, we could say that our neighbor's track is always easier to be run. How many times are we running our race and thinking, "Oh, how I wish I could run that race. Oh, I wanted to run my neighbor's race. That's a great race to run. My race, oh, that's tough. That's hard. I cannot do it." How do we do that? Well, when we think, "If only I were rich, all my problems would go away. If only I didn't have this struggle with my weight and look like a supermodel, I would be fine. My life would be perfect. That's all that I wanted. If I could have that job, oh, then I would be running like a marathon racer. I would be a champion in this race." We run our race thinking that we needed or that we deserved to be running another race. But the scripture tells us, run the race set before you. Run with endurance the race set before you. Why is that? Because the race that was set before us is the race that God appointed. In his infinite wisdom, perfect providence, he gave you that race to be run. So trust him and do what you're called to do. Run with endurance. Run with endurance. So you see, the first verse gives us a lot to do and a lot of challenging things. We need to run with endurance. We need to lay aside every dead weight, every unnecessary thing that can slow us down, every sin that can entangle us. and we must run the race that God gives us to run. But then, by God's grace, we get motivation. It's hard to run this race. It's hard to endure in this race. So we need motivation. And what is our motivation? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. So you see, as you run this race, you fix your eyes on Jesus. You look at him, and you will be motivated. Look at him. Why? Because he's the author and perfecter of faith. Some commentators say that this should be translated pioneer, in the sense that Jesus in his life, he ran this race perfectly. And he did it in the first place, and he did it for you. So you look at him, and you see a great example. And that is true. But the word here has a deeper meaning than that. He's not only the pioneer, he's the author of faith. In a sense that your faith began in Jesus Christ. Your race began in the time that you have come to Jesus Christ. So you look at him as a pioneer, as the champion who ran the race perfectly, as your example. But you look at him as the one who put you in the race, who is strengthening you throughout this race, and who will finish your faith, will make your faith perfect. In other places in Scripture, we see that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Here we see that Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. And so you see, you look to him to find motivation, and you look to him to see the one who ran before you, who accomplished and was successful in this race, did all that the Father sent him to do perfectly, sufficiently, and the one who will strengthen you and will bring you to the finish line. Look at Jesus Christ and you see the one who is the author and finisher of faith. But what did Jesus do in all this? He endured the cross, despising the shame. And so again, we can complain of our race and say that our race is difficult, but look at Jesus' race. And you see that he ran a difficult path. He even endured the cross, despised the shame. Are you aware of how shameful, painful, terrible the cross was? Even pagans recognize the pain, the wickedness of killing a person on the cross. I saw somewhere in this conversation about pagan people, and I think they were Vikings or something, and they invaded a place and they saw a man being hanged on a cross. And they asked him, so, what is this? What is this going on? And then one of them says, that's the wickedness, the evil of the Romans, the way they do things. And it is the worst way to die. And Jesus endured it. He knew he was going to have to be killed, to die in the cross. And he endured it. And so look at Jesus and you'll find motivation. Look at Jesus and you'll find the one who is the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross, but the one who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he has all power, all authority, as he himself said in Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in earth and in heaven. He endured it all, but he was exalted above all. He is the name above all name, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he is reigning even today. And so when your race is difficult, remember that Jesus Christ is a pioneer, the author, the perfecter of your faith. He ran the race. He gives you a good example. He is your motivation, and he was exalted and is ruling as you run your race. So when you get discouraged, when you get tired, look at Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ and you'll find motivation. Look at Jesus Christ and you'll find the strength to lay aside all encumbrances and sin that can entangle you. Look at Jesus Christ and you'll find strength and endurance to run the race that is set before you. He is your motivation and he is exalted up on high. He is ruling. Never doubt that Jesus Christ is king and is ruling. The portion of your race might be difficult, but Jesus is still reigning. He is still the author and perfecter of your faith. Look at him. And so you see, we have a difficult mandate, run with endurance, but we have a great motivation, Jesus Christ. But having a mandate, a goal, and having a motivation is not enough. We need the right mentality. We need to have the right mindset. So motivation is the reason why we do something. Mentality is the attitude of our minds as we do this thing. So there are different things. So what is our mentality? Well, as a good kid in Sunday school, they always say Jesus, and that's the answer. Our motivation, Jesus. Our mentality, Jesus. But the author of Hebrews says, consider him. What's the difference between look and consider? Consider is a stronger word. Consider bears with it the idea of reflecting upon, meditating upon, looking very intentively and with much attention, paying attention to what you're seeing. So consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so you see, Christian, as we run this race, we must look at Christ. He's our motivation. But we have to have Christ in mind. He is our mentality, our mindset. So let me give you a word of encouragement. We need it. This text is very challenging. As I was struggling with it throughout the week, I saw how many encumbrances I have, and you probably see it as well. The race is difficult. We need Jesus' strength. We need Jesus' motivation to run this race. But perhaps the race that is before you, and it has been before you for a long time, is a race of fighting against cancer, a race of struggling with sin, a race of problems in your family, of having loved ones who do not know the Lord and they reject the Lord and they don't want anything to do with the Lord. And you plead with them and then they don't want, and you suffer. It's a race of crying and pain. It's an uphill battle, and you're tired. You're tired. Look at Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ endured such hostility. His race was a race of suffering, of pain. Look at the gospel accounts. Look at the servant songs in Isaiah. And you see the suffering that Christ went through. So in Jesus Christ, you have one who knows what you're going through. And isn't this such a great comfort? I've told this before, but I remember in college, again, I'm guilty of this, but I wasn't a great student. I left things to be done at the last minute. I don't do that anymore, unless I try not to. But I would come to a difficult exam, and I knew I didn't know the subject. I was going to flunk. And I was feeling bad about it. So I looked at my friends, and you see, you know, bad students are friends with bad students. That's always the case. And I would look at them and say, hey, are you prepared for this exam? They would look at me and say, no, I'm definitely flunking. I don't know why, but it made me feel much better. Just to know that someone else was in the same situation as I was. You see, Christian, no matter how tough your race is, how much you are suffering, Jesus Christ knows. He suffered more than you. He truly understands what you're going through. So in him, you have a great friend. You have a great brother. You have the Lord. You can come to him. You can be comforted by him. So consider him. Have him in his mind. Reflect upon him. Read what he did in his life, what was done to him, the hostility that he endured. Such hostility by sinners. Think about it, sinners, wicked people who are finite, meaningless creatures, being hostile to him. And he endured it all. So look at him and you'll find comfort, you'll find company in your suffering. But look at him and know not only that he knows what you're going through and you have, you know, company in your suffering, But know that because of what he did, your suffering is not as bad as it could be. Because no matter how difficult, how bad your suffering is, you're not suffering the wrath of the Father. Jesus Christ suffered it for you. And so, yes, your race might be tough. 2020 was a difficult year. 2021 is not looking much better. And that's just overall, particularly, each one of us have different challenges, different problems. That's why we think that our neighbor's race is better. It's because our race is difficult. So we need a great motivation, Jesus Christ, and we need to have Jesus Christ in our minds. Our mentality needs to be him. And we need to understand he bore the wrath of the Father for us. So yes, your suffering could be worse. You could be fighting with cancer and having the wrath of God the Father upon you. You could be fighting poverty, desperate to find food to be provided for, and still be going towards hell. Jesus Christ took the wrath of the Father out of you, and he bore it himself. He took all of your sins that are entangling you, that you need to lay aside. He took them. He paid the price for them. The Father looked away from the Son. That's how wicked your sin was, but that's how sufficient Jesus' sacrifice was. And so in this text, we have a great commandment, run with endurance, difficult one, but we have an even better motivation, and we have a better mentality. And so we need to have this in mind. And we need to understand that if we are trying to run this race by any means other than Christ, we are not even in the race. In other words, perhaps you're here this morning and you're trying to run this race legalistically, thinking that you can work your way up. If you train as hard as Michael Phelps did, you can run this race. And you will get to the finish line because you're good enough. No, you're doomed. The only way you can run this race is in Jesus Christ, by faith in him. So come to him. Come to him who's the author and perfecter of your faith. And he will make sure you will get to the finish line. He will take you there. He will strengthen you throughout the way. He will give you motivation. He will be with you always, as he himself said. So we saw that Michael Phelps was training, but you see, he always had the opportunity or the possibility of losing. He trained. He didn't lose, but he could have. Somebody else could have trained more than him, have had better talents than him. If you're in Christ, you don't have that option. You will get to the finish line. You will be victorious. You are victorious. So why are you trying to run in any other way than in Christ? Come to him, and you will get to the finish line. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we rejoice that you are our God and that you have sent your Son to run this race for us and who strengthened us to run our own races. Lord, we know that we have many things that slow us down, that entangles us. We pray that you would cause us to lay them aside, that you would give us strength and discipline to not be slowed down. Lord, in times of tiredness, of struggle, of difficulty and fighting, that we are tired and we are weary and disheartened, Lord, please lift up our eyes to Jesus Christ. May we find in him the great motivation and the perfect mentality to run this race, all for your glory. For the praise of your holy name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us conclude our corporate worship now by looking towards the author and perfecter of our faith by singing hymn number 528. Hymn number 528, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let's stand and sing together.